Thank you. Yeah. Right. I'd like to thank the organizers to invite me and just kind of allow me to be the criminal to come in the last day of the conference. yeah. And also thanks for the sticking around until the last sessions. So I'm going to tell you about the superconducting proximity in the quantum or edge states in graphene. And already several previous speakers talk about the kind of many exciting things about the graphene. And I want kind of just kind of add one more statement that the quality of the graphene samples, as Andrea briefly mentioned, becomes kind of quite kind of extremely nice in many cases. So you can realize many things are realized in previous two-dimensional electron system, in particular in the semiconductor heterostructures, can be revisited in graphene, and you can just kind of do similar experiments in much more the versatile the platform. I think that's kind of one of the advantages working on graphitic system. And the talk that I'm going to deliver today, nothing to do with this one, but is precisely related to that advantage I just kind of refer to. So I'm going to tell you about this story, how to combine the superconductivity and the quantum Hall effect, especially in the fractional quantum Hall effect for the end. The idea about this combination has been around sometimes, but now indeed kind of again, this the advance of this material preparations as well as the device fabrications, we are getting to the region that we can combine these things together. The paper, the work is still in the progress, in a sense is a kind of rather preliminary data, but I think it's probably exciting enough at least to share some of the idea behind of the stories. Let me first start with the actually people that worked on this this result I'm going to discuss. There are three postdocs actually involved in this project, Onda Gu, Yuval Ronen, and Xiang Li. They are just basically work on this these particular combinations of the system. And we have the collaborations with the Ashwin for theoretical support, and also the superconductivity part, we have collaboration with Amir as well. Okay, the idea of the combining the superconductor with the, say, Carrier electron system, I would say in general, has been around, and especially even beginning of these topological insulators with combination of superconductor, there is Fu and Kane, the ideas that try to bring up this the topological superconductivity has been quite exciting idea. In particular, in terms of this chiral system, I would say that there's a paper that was done by Xucheng Zhang and colleagues some time ago. In this paper, the idea is basically proximitize a quantum anomalous effect with the superconductor and creating this topologically, the proximity induced topological superconductivities, and where, in some sense, you can create the P plus IP type of the order parameter in this kind of system. In this particular paper that the author actually chose the quantum anomalous Hall system, bear in mind that in fact, quantum anomalous Hall systems or the quantum Hall system, in fact, they should do very similar things, except that to create a quantum Hall system, you need a large magnetic field, typically, which may actually kill the superconductivity, and that's the reason that the author actually choose a quantum anomalous Hall effect. But all this machinery they develop and they use, in fact, can be applicable to quantum Hall system as well. So in that regard, it's not surprising after this work that just within a year or so that there's a follow-up work, then the few of the other theorists just extend this work in the combination with the superconductor, S-wave superconductor, proximitizing the now fractional quantum Hall system has been realized by many authors. And the not share of the work is if you have the, say, quantum Hall system or fractional quantum Hall system, you proximitize with the superconductor. What you expect to see here is in the defect of the superconductor, or either the center of the vortex or edges, you expect to see that the unusual quasi-particle, especially non-abelian quasi-particle, is expected. Now, for integer quantum Hall effect, this is expected kind of Ising type of the non-abelian quasi-particle, non-abelian fermions. We can often call them Majorana. If it goes with the fractional quantum Hall effect, the degeneracy becomes even larger, so it becomes so-called a parafermion, which means that the multiple of these operations of this particle generates comes back with this degeneracy is related with this fractionalized charge into this quasi-particle in the fractional quantum Hall effect. So that idea has been around, and it's obviously quite exciting because in some sense, this is one of the platform in principle, one can use to realize the non-abelian fermions. And of course, the application one can imagine is if you just go through that, there are a lot of theoretical proposals that can we just get it and just braiding those kind of the non-abelian quasi particles to use as just more like the universal, the quantum computing type of the geometry. Of course, and the theory goes kind of far beyond that what experimentalists at least kind of chase it down. But already here that good, the incentive for the experimentalist to try to chase this system and see whether one can realize the hybridizing the quantum system with the superconductor. Now, even before this theoretical work, in fact, the efforts try to hybridizing the quantum system, especially quantum edge with the superconductor, simply just kind of contacting the quantum edge state with the superconductor has been around. I think one of the most recent work done in Galimasunai was done by Leonardo Ruckinson's work at the Purdue. And they demonstrated that they put down the niobium electrode into this Galimasunai quantum well structure, quantum two-dimensional electron gas in the Galimasunai heterostructures. And they demonstrated you can just realize the fractional quantum artifact in the channel and read that with the superconducting electrode and just kind of see that they result. Unfortunately, that as you can see, in all of the previous work, that contacting that two-dimensional electron gas in semiconductor structure with gallium, the superconductor, as the one of the previous speakers in the morning session just kind of briefly mentioned, making this good contact is always kind of big challenges, especially gallium arsenide. It's always a challenge how to make the good contact and reliable way and kind of in the small fabrication, that has been some issues. So although this is kind of setting up the initial kind of quite good result, the further work has not been seen in this geometry. Of course, once you move away from the semiconductors, for example, if you go to the graphene where one can realize a quantum system, the contacting is relatively easier. Part of the reason is you don't necessarily suffer from this Schottky barrier between matter and semiconductors typically appears in the platform. And of course, there's also quite a bit of work that has been done that try to realize the good contact, good superconducting contact on the graphene and apply magnetic field, realize quantum systems, and just to try to see that whether there's interactions or interplay between superconducting electrode with the quantum system has happened. This particular work that I just picked up was Finkelstein's work and Duke University, and that where they what they just did is they make the contact on encapsulate the graphene in between the boron nitride, such that quality is reasonably good with in this case molybdenum rhenium superconducting contact, where that H2 is reasonably high, such that they can maintain the superconductivity of the electrode while they are seeing the quantum artifact. What they see that is at least in the reasonably low magnetic field. Middle of this the quantum plateau, they often see that's at the pockets of the supercurrent flowing there, right? So that's at least you can say that kind of feeling of the coexistence. However, you can see that already in this two-terminal measurement, basically the definition of the coexistence between the superconductor and quantum hole is a little bit challenging, right? Because quantum hole, by definition, so you want to have the quantized the values, especially in the two-terminal geometry, while supercurrent means zero resistance, right? How you want to kind of see this both together is a kind of bit of a challenge in this type of the experiments, right? The breakthrough, I would say, comes from basically two directions beyond this one. One is basically, can we make this the superconducting contact with the very efficient the transparencies into the quantum or edge states, can be realized. Also, can we send high enough magnetic fields? Because we need beyond something like a couple of Teslas to really strengthen the the quantum states. And yet, we want to have the decent superconducting contact that can survive in such high magnetic field. So over the time that we developed the recipes that the right superconducting materials that which also can make a good contact with the graphene under the magnetic field, and I'm going to discuss a little bit more of the a little bit of prior work a few years ago. But the other also the breakthrough is as Andrea mentioned because Andrea's and Corey's kind of previous work that they just demonstrated, you can also increase the quality of the graphene such that before you hit say 20 or 30 Tesla, something like the lab magnetic field, something like the 10 Tesla, if you can realize the fractional quantum artifact such that we can make the disconnections between the decent superconductor with the high quality of the quantum system. So that follows through the disfabrications of the graphene encapsulated and all Van der Waals stacks using the top and bottom graphite gates to realize the fractional quantum Hall effect within the land magnet field with below something like the 15 or 16 Tesla. You already see that well developed this the integer as well as the fractional quantum Hall effects. So basically that's the two technical breakthroughs that make the work that I'm going to present today happen. So tool that I'm going to use to demonstrate it that we have that good the hybridizations between quantum Hall states and the superconductivity is using the Andrew reflection process. So Andrew reflection, of course, it has been discussed a couple of times. It's an old subject. Already in Andreev in 1960s that demonstrated that, theoretically demonstrated by interpreting that increase of the thermal conductivities when you have the NS the contact, that underlying mechanism, how we can make the current flow through this normal and the superconducting contact, basically sending the one of the normal carriers from the this normal conductors, created Cooper pairs by borrowing the another electron from the normal metals, and that will create a hole, and hole should kind of retrospectively follow through the electron directions, such that you basically double the conductance across this interface. So that's basically kind of same things that already Andreev proposed in 1960s. And of course, there are follow-up work, and more of the quantitative work actually followed through, basically solving the Bolivar design equations across this metal to some the superconducting interface. One can see that how the detailed microscopic the mechanism should happen such that the you can combine the incoming electron with the outgoing hole to create the Cooper pairs into the system. And then the well inside the superconductor, of course, everything's condensed into Cooper pairs, but in between that regimes, before it's condensed into the Cooper pair, you have the evanescent wave of the electron, correlated electron and hole-like the quasi particles that reside in that really near the interface between the normal matter and superconductors. The nutshell here is, if you just do it right, and the interface is extremely clean, and all this electron comes in, converted into the hole, creating Cooper pair, in the end of the day, you just instead of one charge per time that that you get the transport. Every time say this event happens, you just transport the two charges, two E of the charges. So in the simply that you expect to see the conductance enhanced in this thing's process. So typically, exactly it, if it is 100% of the Andrew process, you expect to see that twice of the normal conductance, at least if the bias is within the gap of the system. So that's kind of not share of this Andrew process that we need to use to understand what is going to happen. Of course, no interface is ideal. If you start kind of throwing this the barriers in there, you start kind of decrease this enhancement of the conductance. On a practical level, basically, if I just look at this, what is the finite bias between this normal and superconducting interface? That what is this bias level is more or less tells us how good is this interface between normal normal metals to this the superconductor. Well, while that is one of these indirect evidence, we can just look at this quality of interface. I mean, the natural question we can also ask is there a way that we can just take a look at the outgoing hole separately? Of course, in this type of the geometry, one-dimensional interfacial geometry, it's very difficult to see that what is the outgoing hole because it's exactly following through the trajectory the way electron comes in. So luckily, already in quite a long time ago, in the 80s, it has been figured out. I think that was kind of relatively simple. Simply just applying the magnetic field. The idea is kind of following this old papers done in the Soviet Union back then. It's kind of work following way. They use bismuth, which is the materials is extremely long mean free path, so ballistic motion is happening. And they're using that one of the superconducting electrode as the reflector of the magnetic focusing. What happens is when you inject the current, the electron ballistically transport under the magnetic field, will just reflect, bounce back when one of this bismuth surface, and just kind of you can detect that bounce back signal with the voltmeters in there. And when there's a geometrical resonance happen under this magnetic field, you should be able to read this peak of the voltages if you just kind of pick the magnetic field in the right magnetic field to make reflection is happening. Well, that's kind of magnetic focusing experiment. However, what they see that is when just cool this system down, such that this electrode, which in this particular case I believe lead, getting to superconductor, they see that instead of they get the peak on the signal, they get the dip in the signal. So basically when this material is the reflecting electron turn into a superconductor, instead of you get the peak of the magnetic focusing, got the negative signals there. And this negative signal has the origin, the fact that indeed what happens is when electron comes in and it will trade with the hole through the Andrew process, and the hole will follow through the same path the electron should go and just detect by this voltmeter. But of course, chemical potential the hole carries away is the opposite sign of the what chemical potential electron carries, such that you can get the negative signals. And the other thing that you have to note is, by the way, this electron and hole that we converted is not the semiconducting electron holes. It is all coming from same band, conduction band, electron conduction band hole. Therefore, their motion should be in the same directions, although we call this a hole with the negative charges, right? Now, this type of the experiment can be just kind of realized again, just with graphene, for example, same type of the experiment. So we can just send it out, this two normal electrode, and as you just sweep the magnetic field, you will see that when magnetic field is in the right ranges, such that cyclone orbits, hit this superconductor comes back, you expect to see that this negative signals, and this signal will flip it through as we go through this type of magnetic focusing experiments. Now, this has been done in the graphene, for example. Here is a the graphene channels and reasonably good graphene in the encapsulated, everything is ballistically moved, and we've just put the niobium electrode as a reflector, and surely enough, if you go to this low enough temperature and niobium becomes superconducting, you get this positive, the focusing signal turn into the negative, as you see there. Even further, because the graphene channel is exposed into the surface, you can just bring down some of the scanning probe measurement. It was done, same device that was done by the Westerveld groups in collaboration. They just demonstrated indeed you can image this electron cyclone orbits versus a whole cyclone orbit by the Andrew reflections by using the scanning gain microscope. So we know that kind of idea works here, and we can separate this direction of the electron holes in this semi-classical system. The question here is now, what if we push this into the really quantum limits and really push it everything, so all this flow of the electron holes that we are just creating into this quantum energy states. Now, to extend this experiment to the quantum limits, we need one more thing. We need to increase the magnetic field even further. So this type of the experiment was done, say, a couple of tens of millitesla or something like that, cyclone orbit is really large, right? To get into the higher magnetic field, niobium actually is not working well, because niobium, that basically HEC2 is not necessarily high, and quickly you just decreases the properties. So it took us kind of couple of, about half a year, just really develop the right recipe. So what is the right electrode can have the high enough HEC2, and yet we have the good content on graphene. Yes?
So just wondering, a very naive question.
Yeah, please. So let's we'll get back to that. The previous picture was some completely semi-classical pictures I just presented, right? So was done already in the 1980s in the Russia.
But it's not right.
It's not quantum. So quantum, you have to wait. Right, we'll get there. Right. So we developed these techniques to make the good contact and kind of transparent enough contacts. And then nice thing about that is in this particularly the cooked up the electrode, mainly based on the niobium nitride electrode, that has a quite decent the transparency. So you see that in the zero magnetic field, I'm seeing that this enhancement of the conductance, as I mentioned, is about kind of 1.5. Ideally, it becomes a 2 if it is completely transparent. Already 50% is not bad, and typically we get 50 to 75%, so it is good contact still. And more important part is when you increase the magnetic field up to the 12 tesla, where we expect to see that kind of deep into the quantum wall, that enhancement still remain as about 10%. So I think this is a kind of good the electrode candidate we can use to detect kind of the make the hybridization between quantum states and superconductors. All right, so what do we expect? Right, so here, let me kind of start, if you just bring this into the really deep into the quantum limits, what do we expect? Okay, so first of all, let's start with just the kind of everything is made of the normal metal, so nothing special. I think I made a whole bar here, biased the one side of the whole bar and drain the current in here and then measure this one, then I get the V in the upper edges, then my electron is flowing through. The returning edge I expect actually zero, so I get V minus zero and I get the the whole conductivity, whole resistance here, the h over nu e squared, that depends on this, how many edge states I have. So nothing special. Now, just let's do the same thing that I just change one of the electrodes with the superconductor. Say something like this, my drain electrode is changed with the superconductor, right? And what happened is then, okay, so same things happen, except that because it's a superconducting state, I cannot simply take the electrons in there, right? So I expect to see the Andrew process is happening, right? So as we exercise briefly, what kind of naively we expect in semi-classically, the electron comes in, create a Cooper pairs, but then hole is coming out, right? Note that this is the conduction band hole. We'll just go through the same direction the electron's supposed to go, right? So it will just kind of bounce back, and this hole will create another, then hole like this Cooper pairs, and bounce back with the electron and so on, right? It will just go through these edges many, many times as long as this edge is edge length scale, right? So at some point, if there isn't too many bouncing off, then you start to get confused with these electrons and holes, and then basically all things averaged out. So in the end of the day, what you expect to see here is a downstream. Basically, you have the mixtures of the electron hole, or almost kind of likely kind of similar mixtures, right? And therefore, that downstream, basically, you expect to get the same amount of the same chemical potentials, the zero, as is kind of normal. So nothing kind of special things happen. This is kind of what is pointing out, right? So in this geometry, even if I just use that the quantum the superconductor as electrode, I don't expect to see that anything special in terms of the quantum hole measurement. Things becomes different, however. Now, if I just narrow it down, this is superconducting lead, kind of such a narrow, such that now, before it just the volume of quartz particles at the interfacial area is condensed down to superconductor, it can exist in the other side. What you can, what you are allowed to have here is when electron comes in, instead of grab the hole in the same side, you can grab the hole from the other side. In other words, downstreams of the edge states, right? And once you just do that and create the Cooper pair and drain it out through this electrode, basically you leave with a hole, and this hole can just kind of propagate the downstream. And of course, this hole will carry the opposite of the chemical potential where the electron started with, right? So if this process is happening, only this process is happening, you apply the voltage V here, and then you expect to see the negative voltage on the other side, right? Yes? So, so along this side, basically, I don't conserve the momentum conservations because that's kind of barriers, right? There's no translation symmetry. Of course, if it is a sheet, then I still should think about the xy direction of a momentum match. Good.
What I meant is, in Andreev
reflection, right. Well, this whole momentum is opposite of the electron momentums, right? So I think that's, right. So direction of the hole versus the momentum of the hole is different. Yes?
Where the superconductor is thin compared to penetration depth or coherence length, how thin is
the? Yeah, coherence length is the more important part because this is basically the related with the Cooper pair sizes, right? And that's, we will see in the later that how we can just estimate that. But niobium nitride, we expect to see about kind of 100 nanometer length scale, 50 to 100 nanometer length scale. So you have to make the really, really thin, indeed, yeah. So technically, it's very challenging because it's reflective materials. Anyone experimentalists know about this niobium nitride. It's very difficult to fabricate it, and yet you have to make a 100 nanometer length scale of the fingers and then make it superconducting. That's kind of challenges we have. Anyway, so that the evidence we want to read is basically read these downstream voltages and see whether indeed with this kind of this process is happening. So this is a device fabricated a few years ago with exactly the recipe I was mentioning. This is niobium nitride. It's kind of finger shape. So you will see the why it's finger shape in a moment. But anyway, so this is electrode. And the important part is this width is really, really narrow, something like order of 100 nanometer length scale, right? And we are measuring the upstream voltage and downstream voltages, especially downstream voltage is important because that's where that we expect to see that process happens, the negative voltages can be read. And indeed, what you see here, several years ago, the published result, this is Nico 1, 2, and then 6 is reasonably developed up to the 14 Tesla. And in this old sample, you start to see the negative signals developed in the downstream voltages. If I convert that into the resistance by dividing the current, and you start to see there's non-trivial negative resistance developed, at least we start to pick up the signals out of this, right? Now, why this is finger shape? Well, that's actually another look at the same problems with different type of the idea, especially in the era of the topological superconductor. I think this is interesting description. If I just look at this, the situation of the edge states around this superconducting contact, especially if I make the superconducting contact by just etching out the samples, make the trench and backfill this superconductor, which was the case that we made in this sample. So normally, edge state will, if there's nothing, they absorb into superconductor, edge state will follow like this around this superconducting electrode, right? But here, that this, the quantum state is a chiral state, as was mentioned, but then it was basically, if this superconducting electrode is narrow, they will just kind of couple each other, hybridizes. So you can have the chiral one-dimensional mode, the hybridized superconductor. This is basically a basic ingredient. You can create this non-abelian quasi particle localized at the end of these wires, right? Indeed, a theoretical description is that if that can put in this right, we expect to see that this localized, in this case, in integer quantum hole, Majorana fermion sitting to the end and probably delocalized at the bottom. Yes?
Sorry, so above at 10 Kelvin.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, so this, why offset 200? Because note that this is a three-terminal measurement, not a four-terminal. By the experimental geometry, it cannot be, it can be only three-terminal measurement.
That's kind of a contact.
That's a contact resistance, right?
And changing with temperature also.
That's right. So this, the black red line is basically where the TC of this conductor, superconductor becomes zero. And then you can even just think about this, maybe you can consider as contact resistance. We can go through that argument later a little bit more, but in the upper bound is basically this is my negative signal. Lower bound is basically this, absolute negative. Anyway, even lower bound is negative, so we know that this is happening, right? Good, right. Now, why did, however, you just remember that I mentioned that I expect to see the V and negative V. Negative V means that this should be like the not just kind of 20 or 30 ohms, I expect to see that that should be 25 kilo ohm, right? So it's about a few percent of the what is the expected signal. Why is that? Well, there are a few reasons that kind of it cannot be full voltage. First of all, that there's competitions of the different process, right? If the contact is especially not transparent enough, what you expect to see here is there's this normal undrived reflections which will create undrived edge state. We know that this will just contribute to zero, right? Chemical potentials. And then there's a cross undue reflection we mentioned, but I just didn't draw it here. But there's one more process. If the electron doesn't, instead of converting into hole, electron can just go through that this superconductor. That's a kind of electron core tunneling. And that will contribute to positive, right? And those kind of all this competing process, we'll just kind of you have to think about. Now, one thing interesting part is this cross undue reflection as well as electrical core tunneling will sensitively depends on the width of the superconductor because that's basically where this exponential decay is happening. So if this width becomes large, one thing we for sure is that all the signal that related with this process will die off, right? And the first of all, since we're starting from negative signal means at least that the cross undue reflection is always a dominant process compared with electron core tunneling. And more important part is, as we change the width of the superconductor, we indeed see that the signal that we are getting, the negative signal, dies off very quickly, right? All right, so this sets up the basic stage that what is the next things we want to do, right? At least we see that the possibility that we can just make the coupling between superconductor and the quantum energy state in the non-trivial way. Now, further thing is that we want to actually increase this level of the signal even further. And then potentially we want to actually push this into the fractional quantum Hall limits, not only just kind of simply this integer. Well, this can be done again that by combining these techniques that Andrea mentioned about this completely Van der Waals stacks, including even the gates. This is annoyingly hard because now we have to make the this 100 nanometer size of the niobium nitride lead and put just without shorting with these top and bottom gates. It requires some of the time, but indeed we just made it. Probably represented here is niobium nitride contacts that kind of contacting the samples. I mean, everything encapsulated top and bottom graphite gates, right? So what is happening in this sample? In this sample, we can just measure the upstream and downstream voltages by injecting current there, right? And at the same time, with the same magnetic field, and same gate, and same fielding, we can just monitor this three quantity, which actually is kind of important as you see. The first quantity is a trivial things, right? We measure RxX and RxY. This is a four-terminal geometry. And the RxX zero, quality of the zero is important to tell us that how this contact is well equilibrated, right? As well as where is the real quantum or is well developed. RxY tells you that, again, that whether this is well kind of quantized, as well as it will tell immediately number of the channel we are dealing with, right? At the same time, most important quality is this, the cross-Andrew reflection signals. That's a similar way that we measure. It's a three-terminal measurement. So it contains inherent contact resistance or imperfections of the junctions. But nevertheless, this three signal is something that we are going to just kind of focus on in this particular device. We know that deep into the quantum origin, this goes to zero. This is quantized, right? This one, in the full Andrew convergence happen, then it becomes same as RxY. If there's nothing happen, it becomes zero, always kind of negative, right? So in principle, that if I just take the ratio between RxY we measured with our the cross-Andrew reflection, that tells us what is the probability of the cross-Andrew reflections of that particular quantum states. So that's kind of focus. Okay, so let's discuss what we are seeing here. Now, in this device, much better quality than previous one due to the disencapsulation. I'm showing you here the gate voltages tuned the density, and this is a magnetic field. I'm showing only the electron side, right? Here's a car signal, here's RxY. Rx shows kind of good quantization. Car signal shows some bluish color, which actually is where that negative signal appears and under reflection is happening, right? So slope tells us that there is integer quantum all, 1 and 2 and 3, 4, and all these things happen. But what's the important part is now within 14 tesla of the lag field, we start to see that the car signal, the cross-Andrew reflection signal, that corresponding to these fractions as well. So that's already quite exciting. Now, cross the cutting through that I will show you the XY together with the car signal. And car signal shows that bit of the negative, we'll look at this scale, that we have the bit of the negative signals integer, it's small. But what you're seeing here is as you go to the fractions, the car signal becomes actually quite big, right? So how do I know that this is really not a, some sort of random fluctuations, but really signal? One thing that we can quickly check is we can simply increase the temperature and go beyond the superconducting transition temperatures, which is in this particular case around kind of 8 Kelvin, right? And surely enough, when I just increase the temperatures, basically all this negative signal goes away and I get all these positive contributions that coming from the contact resistance I mentioned, right? Including all this kind of sharp signal, right? And the other thing that we can do is, we can simply also bias that this, the whole bar, right? Because this Andrew process is only happening when the bias voltage is within the gap. If you just bias enough, especially beyond that this gap, you will quickly lose the signal. Indeed, that's the case, right? This is it's a new equal two cases, quickly away from this, something like the few millivolt of this bias voltage, we lose the signal, right? And then temperature dependence will also kind of shows that this negative signal quickly go away, right? And same thing for the 1/3 and the 2/5, and then you start to see that all of the signal that we are seeing, the temperature dependence, bias dependence, indeed tells us that this is not just kind of false experimental artifacts we have, right? So now let's bring this one into the even lower temperature. And see that how well this thing is developed. I will start with this fan diagram, but I will start with a relatively low magnetic field, something like the 4 tesla, where the fraction is not well developed at this 15 millikelvin of the temperatures we are measuring here. What you're seeing is that this all integer is well developed. At the same time, you start to see this red signal is at cross-Andrew reflections. They are kind of well-developed negative signal. Now, compare with the previous sample, they're much more disordered. That negativeness of sample is undoubtedly kind of strong there. Now, important part is what is that the probability correspond of this each edge state, and that comes actually interesting. So I'm simply taking RxY and this car signal and divide it off, and just to get this the ratio, which is kind of proportional to the probabilities of the car, and it turns out this green curve that taking the ratio is exactly similar to each other, regardless of these filling fractions. And if you convert in terms of the probability, that's about kind of few percent, about a percent or two, right? So at least you start to see that, well, that the probability is about the same, means that regardless of this spin textures and daily texture of all of the edge states, somehow I always get a very similar the cross anti-wave signal, or the cross anti-wave reflection features into this integer. And part of the reason we believe that it does not sensitive even with the spin texture is that the superconductor we are using, niobium nitride, contains heavy metals such as niobium, where that basically spin inside of niobium nitride may not be a good quantum numbers unless you just tie with all these kind of orbital orders. All right, the important part is, what if that we just increase that even into deep into the strong quantum limits where we start to see the fractions. Now, we just kind of increase the magnetic field 9 tesla, start to see that. Now, we start to see that the fractions shows up, right? Various kind with integers. Again, undoubtedly, it's kind of strong negative signal, right? And what we can do is we can now just again compare that with the RxY signal, right? So let me first show that the comparison with RxX with RxY. Now, well, you see that if I just normalize RxX and RxY, they are very close to zero, about a percent of the fluctuations. We can see that that is probably about our measurement error, right? So anything that I claim should be larger than that to make the meaningful sense. Now I just do the same thing for RxY, the car signal, right? Now car signal, you start to see that after normalize is something like this. So this is car signal corresponding to 1/3. Okay, so first of all, it's integer, and this is 1/3, 2/3, and 4/3, and 5/3 is there, right? But you start to see that while the integer values, as it's kind of similar as I just claimed before, this diffraction is kind of all over the places. In fact, the fractions, especially 1/3, is much, much stronger than any of these car signal we had, about the 25% of this the conversion process is happening to the 1/3. Yes? No, I think, okay, so good. So it is increasing a little bit, right? So you see that there's low magnetic field there and high magnetic field is a kind of, it's a weird color scale. As you go to high magnetic field, the probability becomes larger. Presumably that the superconductivity, the quantum Hall gap is kind of becomes larger. We don't know what it is, but anyway, the experimental observation is larger, but they stay similar values between the integers. Right. So you can classify the certain fractions actually has the better the cross anti-wave reflections. Some of them are not necessary. We don't know yet what actually make this type of the differences. But there are at least kind of one interesting the scenarios we can at least present. Let's say, imagine that how we can just make this electron or the quantum, the fractional quantum states, that how this the fractionalized quasi particle can get into the superconductor. One naive thing that we can just do that is, well, I start with this fractionalized charge. If I just state 1/3, basically E of the 3 will come in with the charges. But naturally, I want to make the Cooper pair in the superconductor, which means that I can put the electrons in there rather than this quasi particle, which means if that's the case, I have to wait to bunch all these 3/4 of the particle, the 1/3 of the particles into the three trios to make the electron. And then I can make the Cooper pairs by grabbing another electron from the other side, right? And then basically this one will be drained out and just make the bunched one and anti-bunch it and just send it out again, whole of this, quasi-whole of this fractionalized charges, right? Now, if this is really the case, what we expect to see here is, in fact, a fractional quantum artifact. The cross anti-wave reflection is inefficient because you have to first bunch and anti-bunch, and all this process is basically triple, or the sum of the probability cube of the process. So in this, if this is really preferred, basically you have to suppress this cross anti-wave reflection in the fractions. However, another scenario is instead of you bunch, basically you start to fractionalize charges in the impinging on there in the superconductor. And instead of making this Cooper pair by the two electrons, if you just make the Cooper pair made of this two fractionalized charges, right? And then this processor doesn't necessarily require any of the bunching, and the probability doesn't necessarily decrease compared with the integer case of this fractionalized charges. I know that this is kind of, at this point, a really naive claim, and that kind of further careful examination is needed, but at least the experimental data we are seeing that kind of clear preference that at least one third, and some of the other fractions, the cross-angular reflection is much larger. It's very suggestive to that maybe we are getting into some interesting limits of the, this cross-angular reflections with this, the fractional quantum limits. So where we are going? At this point, that it is kind of good, in the ingredients that tells us that we can start to see that existence of the, those kind of hybridized state in there. Right. Going beyond that, indeed, whether this will create the parafermions at the end of the, this fingers we are creating and something, we need a kind of further experimental evidences. Potentially, this to see that those kind of the statistics of the quasi particles, we need kind of some of the other phase sensitive type of measurement, for example, SCREET, or that Ellis-Josephson junctions. For example, some of the efforts we are now doing is basically putting these two fingers getting close. Indeed, if those kind of the fingers the non-abelian quasi particles there, maybe we can just get these Josephson junctions in the kind of weird way. Especially, it will be interesting to see that what is the Shapiro step should look like that in this type of the Josephson junctions under the irradiation magnetic wave. So already we start to see that when we make these fingers, at least we start to see the supercurrents there, and the supercurrent is modulated as we change the quantum states. Clearly that the quantum states and the Josephson junctions coexist in this particular system because it's a critical current is modulated, not just current itself, right? And the other part is, of course, we can just go through the very similar way the Majorana communities with nanowires. We can actually try to tunnel into at the end of the, this the superconducting wires by bringing the another quantum states, so just kind of using the gates and so on. So this type of the things is something we can push on. Even going further, maybe just realizing this type of the hybridizations with the parafermions may allow us to kind of build up some of the interesting circuitry. So already there is comes with many of the different the schemes we can rely on. And we already see that at least one context so we can just create those kind of combinations. It's a matter of the time that we just expand with this another type of the scheme. So my time is up, so I'm just not done, right? So the message I want to deliver here is now I think we have the now toolbox that we can combine this two interesting systems, right? So kind of usually two disjoint systems, superconductivity and quantum Hall, even just fractional quantum Hall can be combined. And then we start to see already non-trivial that the experimental result where the integer and the fraction is different, and we can just kind of wish to kind of push that further. And with that, Mark, and I want to kind of reassure that our collaborators, and thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, very interesting.
Just a very quick question.
Yeah.
So you showed the chiral edge state going around the superconductor, and then you said if it's narrow enough, it will hybridize.
Yeah.
And then how do you get the Majorana at the end? Is that because of the magnetic field?
I think, well, that you have to ask a theorist, I think, but I think simply the ingredient there is the basically, yes, I think that some of this, let's see, I think, well, this is good enough, right? I think, yeah. So basically, you have this one of the chiral edge state, the other chiral edge state is simply that coupled with the superconductor. Microscopic pictures of the, those kind of coupling that I'm just drawing is basically this cross-Andrew process, right? So you can imagine that there's a cross-Andrew process that make this kind of mix of the, the propagating state, the other propagating state. It's a special scattering state, if you want to say, right? And basically gap it out, those kind of the edge states, and creating this the defects, topological defect at the end. That's my understanding of the theoretical descriptions, yeah.
I thought for Cross-Andreev reflection, you would always need spins of both types.
Correct, right,
and
yes.
How, why should it even work in the first place?
That's right. I think that was kind of really the big questions we had in the beginning. Anyway, the experiment, first of all, experimental result is negative, clearly, with all possible check if it's really negative. And now even new samples, a new generation sample, so undeniably it's kind of true. The speculation at this point is it is a niobium nitride, which actually mixed up these spins in there. Because in a sense, if you just think about niobium, it's a reasonably heavy metal, right? There's strong spin orbit coupling. So spin per se is not a good quantum number. It's inside of niobium nitride, right? So even if we have that there's two polarized spins in there, maybe actually still can form the Cooper pair. The other possibility is, well, that there is also the Meissner effects, and there's kind of flux. If you just look at this magnetic field directions near the superconductor, it's not necessarily kind of all the parallel. Maybe there is some of the tilting. And there are some components still we can just kind of mix together. And maybe that's the reason that why we have only a few percent or a few tens of percent of the mix, efficiency.
Questions here?
Yeah.
The superconductor is under the influence of a strong magnetic field. So is it fully gapped or there are vortices there? What is the...
Yeah. Undoubtedly, there is a vortices. And niobium nitride is kind of between type 1 and type 2. I think with this mixture, so we likely see that it might be type closer type 2. Anyway, it is a small size. But nevertheless, I think it is reasonable to think about there's a vortices in there. Now,
so what is the number of fluxes in there, in that?
I think it's probably quite many, right? Because the magnetic length is something like, with 10 tesla, it's like 10 nanometers. So my width is 100 nanometers, and the length is something like the micron, so there are many. However, whether vortex is moving, or maybe vortex is pinned, it's a kind of reasonably also disordered metallic electrode. So it's not clear that what vortex do, but that is certainly very good, important questions.
Maybe get the
space
inside the vortex.
That's, yes, right. But unfortunately, I don't have any microscopy tools to look at the what's inside of the superconductors. Right.
So Phil, you have...
I'm sorry. Is it possible to tell if all the fractional states you consider are fully spin polarized?
Not in the study, but there has been quite a bit of studies about these spin states on the spin and valley state of this fractional quantum Mohr effect in graphene. You have the local expert here that can tell. 1/3 for sure is spin polarized. So 2/3, I believe it is spin unpolarized in low magnetic field and see that spin polarized in high magnetic field. I got confused. Is that right?
Same question that I had was just whether there's anything systematic about, because how many thirds do you have across, I think it's the next slide or two slides later.
Again, the same thing goes with, it's a little better than twisted bilayer, which I'm also working on, but every sample is slightly different. As you see that different thermal cycle, certain fraction is stronger than the other one. Hmm. So I would say that generally that what you're seeing, the 1/3 sequence is strong. Sometimes we see the strong 2/5. But not all the times.
I guess my question is whether there's anything systematic between 1/3, 2/3, 4/3, and 5/3 as far as the Krost-Andreev reflection is concerned.
Anything that I can state out of all this data is 1/3 is by far the strongest all the times. Other things is actually depends on the cooldown. Yeah, right. So that's why I was kind of not details about systematics and briefly major some fraction is strong or something, right? But I wish to have we wish to have a little bit more samples to get a little bit more detailed systematics. So let me state, this particular sample, this is the case. 4/3 is a kind of somehow stronger than any others, but it's not necessarily all the times true. Yeah.
But at your magnetic field, is it known what the polarization is at 2/3, 4/3, and 5/3?
Zero, low magnetic field. Yeah. Yes,
it
has been studied. It has been studied.
So
I think it is.
Your magnetic field, what the polarization is? So do you know, or it's.
2/3 is a spin unpolarized.
So 2/3 is fully unpolarized, zero polarization.
Well, I think it's hard to tell. Yeah, that's right. I think whether it's completely unpolarized, whether it's candid, I don't know. I think that's actually beyond that experimental resolution.
There is actually another question. May it be that 5/3 is also unpolarized and 4/3 is polarized like 1/3?
Yeah, potentially. I think this need a little bit more systematic studies indeed. I think in principle that you can just kind of change the in-plane magnetic field and all of these things, so one can just kind of revisit these issues. But at this point, I don't want kind of say anything systematic beyond that 1/3 or 1/3, yeah.
Okay, so time is running out. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
So.